Resources on this Tuesday, April 24th. Amazing how quickly April's going by in the session. So with that, we're going to open a work session on House Bill 3436. So I believe we have some amendments, and we'll let our administrator explain the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3436 was first heard on April 3rd. The bill modifies requirements for population forecasting for maintaining and updating comprehensive plans. You should have a dash 2 amendment in front of you. And Mr. Chair, Linda Ludwig from the cities is here, and I think she's probably best able to describe the amendment.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. The amendment that you have in front of you, the dash 2, is basically a gut and stuff of the bill. And that was done, I think, for ease of reading. What we have here, and I'll refresh your memory, this is a population, coordinated population forecast that was modeled after the rules that DLCD adopted last year. We see that in section 1 and 2. Again, these forecasts are done for primarily, and the amendment has been modified, narrowed to the scope of urban growth boundary amendments and evaluations. But these population numbers are important. They're the foundation of how we do our building inventory assessments and many of those other things that we do in planning requirements. Currently, the county does them, and oftentimes we found out through that rulemaking process that more than half the counties haven't done them, or they've been tardy. They haven't been updated in the last 10 years. So what the rulemaking did here in Section 1, Sub 1, and Sub 2 was to give cities two different options in order to provide a forecast that is based on whether or not that initial evaluation had never been done or whether or not it was 10 years old, less than 10 years old. Those numbers, as we see down, in Section 1, Sub 1, the city may propose a revised 20-year forecast for its urban area by extending the coordinating bodies, the county's current year forecast, current urban area forecast for a 20-year period. So you just take where you are today and roll it forward 20 years. In number two, if the county has adopted a forecast but it's more than 10 years or more than 10 years old, then a city can propose its 20-year forecast by using the forecast numbers prepared by the Office of Economic Analysis for the county for the period that begins when the city initiates its UGB amendment. And they have to be, the city has to use the urban area's current share, that's on line 21 of the dash 2 amendments, of the county population based on the most recent certified estimates from PSU and the data from the Census Bureau. So those two options are currently in rule. What this legislation provides that the rule did not provide was it does have a time threshold, and that is on the other side of the bill on the amendment on line 3. If the coordinating body, and that's the county, does not take action on the city's proposed forecast and within 6 months, and what does not take action means is that it doesn't either adopt the city's new number, or it doesn't provide a new number, or it doesn't get in touch with the city to work on a process. So that's what that take action is. Then the city provides notice to the other local governments and can include that forecast in its comprehensive plan. It must include it in the comprehensive plan and may rely on it as an appropriate basis to conduct the evaluation or amendment of the UGB. And important to put in the record also, this is in addition from the original bill, is sub 4, the process for establishing a population forecast is in addition to and not in lieu of a process established by goal, that's goal 14 and rule of LCDC. So I think we've covered all of our bases there. Again, what this does that's different is it adds that six-month time frame for the county to take action. And I believe the committee remembers the testimony I've heard when we were in public hearing about the problems cities have had with that time sequencing. Sometimes it can be a year out, sometimes 2 years out. That taking action is very important for cities who are looking to spend additional money on that UGB analysis.
Okay. Question. Would this help, say you're trying to get a bond for sewer improvement and that kind of stuff, and oftentimes when you're doing that, they expect you to have a plan that says this is going to last for X number of years or whatever. Would these same numbers be necessary in those kinds of developments?
For capital facilities planning, we do use population numbers, yes, as well as our transportation system plan, our water conservation management plans. Yes, we do need those numbers, but I want to be very clear to you, this piece of legislation does deal with UGB amendments only. I will say the caveat to this is what I've brought before you today is very important. But it is not the end-all, be-all solution for this population forecast problem that we have.
Right.
That's something that we're going to need to unravel further, and I'm hoping that some of the recommendations of the Big Look Committee at least will provide some basis for looking at how to resolve that entirely in the future.
Thank you. I mean, and committee, from my perspective, just so you know, part of what's driving. We got a lot of bills sent to us that had to do with land use, and I am personally one of those people who believes that the Big Look is where a lot of that should happen, and we should really be thoughtful about a lot of those. So we didn't hear a lot of those bills. There are a few that rose up, and I thought we need to take care of little bits of time. This was one of those from my perspective, and I guess that's why we're sitting here today. So any other questions? Now, DLCD, you've talked to them.
Yes, Mr. Chair. They have helped me craft the amendments. They are supportive of the amendments. And if you would like to hear from them, they're just down the hall.
Mr. I think we're okay. Any questions of?
I just was curious that the county is still opposed to this amendment because I did note that they were opposed to the original bill.
If they were opposed to the original bill, I did get some language from the county association that made some suggestions of which some of which we could incorporate into the amendment, the concerns there. I had assumed they'd be here today.
I was sort of surprised.
But I don't see them.
All right. So you haven't asked them specifically about the final one. They just came out, but okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Would you take a
motion? I would.
Okay, I'll move the -2 amendments to House Bill 3436.
Representative Smith has moved the -2 amendments to House Bill 3436. Any discussion further? Any opposition to the inclusion of the -2 amendments? Seeing none, the -2 amendments are placed into the bill.
Do you have a referral on this?
This one doesn't. This one
doesn't.
No referral.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3436 as amended to the floor. Recommendation.
Representative Smith moves House Bill 3436 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Just a quick comment, Mr. Chair. I mean, this bill goes partway in helping one of the cities I have in my district. It doesn't go all the way, but at least lends some moral support and some, you know, direction, because these population studies, which I didn't learn until after spending multiple hours in the last couple of weeks with one of my cities, can be very problematic and very costly to the cities if it's not done on a timely manner. And when you get beyond this 10-year mark, it can become costly because the law, frankly, makes them make assumptions on population that could be vastly below the real population on the day of the assumption. It's a conflicting portion of the law.
There are actually, and in some places on the coast, the population is going down, and so some of the early deals indicate a lot different than what's really happening, and then all of a sudden things happen and there's a burst, and so if they aren't close, it's really hard to do. So I agree. So
yeah,
thank you.
Mr. Chair, in my case, I have a city that has 535 more people physically in the city than what they're allowed to plan for. Explaining a little difficult.
Yes, it does. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Klein?
Excuse?
Oh, he's here.
I didn't see him. I was just getting so used to it.
I'm going to vote for it, but I may change my vote on the floor. I want to hear what the counties have to say. To be honest, still have to be amendments. Aye.
Representative
Dean Butler? Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
I'm hearing stereo.
No, you're right.
No, he's split personality.
Yeah.
Greg McPherson.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
You're getting two votes.
Aye. Bill passes. Thank you very much.
Consent calendar.
Oh, we do need a carrier.
We do consent calendar.
Is this a consent type one? What do you think, people?
I'd be happy to carry it because I think everything gets explained on the floor. My city's deal, because that'll get us farther with LCDC and the counties.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll close the hearing on 3436, and we're going to open a hearing on 3337. And I believe we have some amendments, so we'll...
We do. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is the bill that establishes a schedule for the review of buildable land supply for local governments within metropolitan planning organizations. There is a dash 2 amendment in front of you. And...
Yeah, that might be easier. John, do you want to come up and help with these so that people understand exactly what we're doing here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association, here on the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3337. As with previous bill, legislative council drafted this as a gut and stuff to make it, which I always appreciate when they do that. It makes it easier to read. What we did was two major changes from the previous version of the bill. First thing is we took out all the other cities that would have been affected by the original version of 3337. That was to respond to some of the concerns expressed not only by the League of Cities but also by some of the committee members. The other thing we did was we clarified exactly what the bill does. You'll see in Section 2, subparagraph A, actually, it's a paragraph, the first paragraph of Section 2, where it talks about cities within Lane County with populations over 50,000. There's a couple of those. That's who the bill refers to. And what the bill does very clearly says that those cities should each establish their own urban growth boundary. That's from sub A. Sub B, that urban growth boundary, when they're done creating it, remember they have a current urban growth boundary now for both Eugene and Springfield. This would have two. Each of them would have to have a 20-year land supply. But then in paragraph section two, sub two, make it clear that everything else about the planning in that region, they have an existing comprehensive plan, would remain unaffected. So the transportation planning, stormwater planning, that sort of thing would continue on a regional basis. It's just that the land use planning for growth would occur within separate UGBs. The other thing we did then is make it clear that this bill only applies, as far as the timing in Section 3 of the Dash 2s, to these two jurisdictions, again, taking out all the other cities that would have been affected by it. We believe this certainly clarifies the intent of the legislation. We recommend it to you. I'd be happy to take any questions.
So, questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, what I'd like to know, and I'm not sure Mr. Chandler is the right person to ask, but there were... There was some concern expressed by different folks who were here at our there was some resistance, and I wanted to see whether some of the issues that were resisted, thinking particularly Mr. Rindy from the DLCD commented this was concerned about Section 2 of the bill as printed. And I want to see how responsive these amendments are to those concerns.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McPherson, Mr. Rindy was here earlier.
He had to go to another hearing. I think he would come back.
I'm sure he would. I certainly wouldn't want to indicate that I had his proxy in any way, shape, or form for both of our sake. But he indicated to me I think the proper way to say it, wish the bill wasn't necessary, but we did try to address their concerns. He did have one technical concern that he's emailed to me. I'm not sure I understand it. He's not sure it's really an issue to the extent that it becomes a technical legal issue, and the wording of the bill will work on that down the road. It's more like I'm not sure that actually exists. So I'm sure he'd come back and tell you himself where they stand on it. I don't believe they're going to be opposing the bill.
Yeah, he came in before the meeting and said that there were some things that he wanted to work on. He has the assurances that he could talk with Mr. Chandler and that they could work that. It was exactly what you were just saying, that there were some technical things that he and you had exchanged stuff and but were not that concerned with. He felt comfortable that they would work those out. The other issues, I think because this one separates the area that it would be, it acknowledges that one of the things they were concerned about was that one city would encroach on the other city's UGB, right. And that this, by stating where it's at on each side of the, how that goes.
It references back to the comprehensive plan, the jurisdictional area's responsibility, which are referenced in the existing comprehensive plan.
And so he felt that took care of that part. I would say, and the other people that spoke against it were the city of Eugene. And I think they said that.
And Thousand Friends, I think that's the concern as well.
Thousand Friends mentioned it as well. They would rather have had it stay at one UGB. That's true. Yeah, but I need a couple more. Yeah, go ahead. On the dash 2s for sure.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3337.
Okay. Representative Smith has moved the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3337. Any further discussion on those? And would you like me to try to get a hold of Rindy and have him come over?
I think I've got enough information to proceed here, Mr. Chair. And let me just offer up a perspective here. I'm going to support the Dash 2 amendments and this bill. I think this is a crummy solution. because
right
we've got two municipalities of substantial size that are right against each other, there should be one urban growth boundary. One of the things one does see in the way our land use planning system operates in this state is that we don't get bad land use planning just from jurisdictions that are too lax in their planning standards. We also get bad land use planning from jurisdictions that are too rigid. And it tends to push then development at places where it's not the best place for it to go. I know that it's a ways away from where I live and spend most of my time. I don't have a clear sense about what's going on in the south end of the Willamette Valley, but I do have a sense, based on the history we got about UGB expansions down there, that they have not been proceeding as they should, and the effect is to divert, to push growth out to some of the satellite communities. And that, I think, is not a good thing. So I will support this bill, not as the best solution to that problem, but because it is a solution, and I'm hopeful that maybe that will then generate some pressure to craft what I think is a better solution.
Yeah, Representative Dingfelder.
I was going to say that great minds think alike, but I was going to say the same thing. I will vote for this. I don't think it's the best solution. But I do think that also, I just want to say for the record that there needs to be a balance between, and we discussed this a little bit, about the propensity to always want to push out the UGB. And we heard from Springfield, that the city of Springfield, that there is an effort to try to increase density within the UGB as well, because it's also the quality development within the UGB. And so I think that there needs to be that balance there. I will support this amendment, and I appreciate the changes that were made because I did have concern about unintended consequences for other municipalities that did not want to be a part of the solution, and I appreciate that. But I share some of the concerns that my colleague had expressed, but I will be a vote of yes in this committee.
Okay. So any other...
Representative Clem, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to support the bill. I have a particular situation where there's, I think, a divorce brewing in my hometown at some point with its neighbor, and I really
wasn't able to explain to either side why, on the one hand, they weren't included in this, or on the other hand, why wouldn't be setting a precedent for them to have one of these come next time. And so I would demur in this case to not having to answer either of those questions as such.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to support an offsite representing Klamath. I'll be more than happy to help his city next time.
Any objections to the dash two amendments? Seeing no objections, we will put the dash twos in, and I'll take another motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3337 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved House Bill 3337 as amended to the House floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Just one comment, Mr. Chair. I mean, I would agree with my colleagues here. I wish there was a better way, but maybe this will come out a better way.
And I'll concur with all of them because, as you know, we have not had, as I met at the beginning, very many bills here dealing with land use because I really do believe the Big Look needs to deal with these things. Hopefully this will help the Big Look understand that there are some of these issues and that they'll take this into consideration and look at it because I think that having talked to both sides in this deal, I don't see any other resolution right now at the moment. So from that perspective, I think it's the thing that we need to do here. So I thank all of your consideration for this, and we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Clem?
No.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Bauer?
Excuse?
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Chair Rosen?
Aye. Motion passes and will be sent to the floor. Thank you very much.
I think Representative Bauer.
Representative Bauer will be the carrier. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone in the committee really wants to
carry. That's right. And I'm sure that she would like to.
Right, exactly.
You cannot try this away from her if you want to.
That's true. That's true. Clem would have been good. No.
Yeah, both sides of my team.
Okay.
Both for different reasons.
And thank you all for being here. We're here for that, so thanks.
Yes, we did until Legislative Council produced it.
So now we will close the hearing on House Bill 3337 and open a public hearing, I mean a work session on 3481. I hope I said work session.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did.
Okay. And with that, we'll have a short explanation. We have some amendments on this bill, too. As you can tell, a lot of these have a lot of amendments as we're working towards the end of the bill here to get things done. So.
Mr. Chair, members, House Bill 3481 is the bill that you heard on April 10th that deals with poplars. And you should have in front of you a dash 3 amendment, which replaces the original bill. The dash 3 amendment creates a task force on the Oregon hybrid poplar industry to make recommendations to the 75th Legislative Assembly and to report to an interim committee. The task force is directed to study the development of the poplar tree industry and to make, I guess the rest of the amendment really deals with the structure of the task force. There are members appointed by the Senate President, the Speaker of the House, and then members also appointed by the Governor. The Department of Forestry is directed to provide staff support, and the provisions of the bill take effect immediately. Oh, and I guess finally, Mr. Chair, there was originally a subsequent referral to revenue on this bill, and with the dash 3 amendment, that subsequent referral would not be necessary.
So I will say that discussion on this bill, I know that Representative Clem worked with some people. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Sure.
What are the work, Sam?
I'm looking at the amendments for the first time right
now.
Okay.
So. Make sure it's the right amendment.
Yeah.
I do have a question for the Department of Forestry.
Okay.
They're hiding in the back.
I know.
Well, I'm just curious about staffing because I happen to be on the Ways and Means Committee and we're reviewing Department of Forestry's budget, which isn't exactly flush. And curious about how this affects your workload for things like implementing the Forest Practices Act and a lot of the other important duties that you have.
Thank you.
Chair Roland, members of the committee, representing Dinkfelder, my name is Ted Lawrence, Assistant State Forester for the Oregon Department of Forestry. We are concerned about anything that directs us to an alternative priority, particularly if we don't have the governor's budget resources that we were hoping to get. So on the other hand, if we don't create a solution to this problem, it's going to either create more work for us or some other unintended consequence. I mean, if we did have to regulate a hybrid poplar plantation, it would take resources as well. So we're kind of in a position where it's a challenge, but I think it's worthy of helping support a solution notwithstanding the impact. So we'd be wanting to do it.
Follow up? I have two follow-up questions, Ted. One is, does this then get referred to Ways and Means, or do you have a fiscal on that? We haven't seen the fiscal on this.
Chair Roldan, Representative Phillips, members of the committee, we did indicate a fiscal impact of about $13,000 to do the work.
Okay. And then a follow-up question, which I'm not sure is really for Ted to answer, but I noticed that there's a Farm Bureau member, and I see the different membership, but I don't see somebody from Department of Ag unless it's hiding somewhere. I mean, because it is currently EFU land, so right. I think it would be important to have somebody from the Department of Agriculture to tell us what the impacts are, or the other would be somebody from the counties, Association of Oregon Counties, to look at the impact on their county budgets.
Chair Roblin, representing Philip, members of the committee, we also just saw this bill, and you know, there's a number of alternative arrangements that might be considered. I believe the proponents of the measure were the ones that helped commonly draft the bill. And again, I think considering an ag representative or more broadly from the department or even the Department of Agriculture's board, like the Board of Forestry, might be a logical place to think of getting members.
I can speak to this at this point.
Okay.
You know, if this has a fiscal and goes to Ways and Means and it's a money problem, this group is going to meet regardless. I wasn't clear that we were going to create a formal task force versus just have one based on my verbal understanding with the parties. You know, as long as it doesn't cost more taxpayer money, I think it's fine to do it. The representation is fine. I'll ask for, if I'm involved, for additional staffing assistance from agencies. You know, I think they can always be resources upon request. It's more about naming the ones the actual governor and the speakers have to appoint that are important. And the timeline talks about a report no later than 2008, October 1, 2008, which the no later is, I guess, the operative word, because the intent is to have it done probably about that time in 07, maybe a little later, but the intent is to try and bring together a consensus proposal for the 08 session. And only if, for whatever reason, they can't come to conclusions, then the legislative members, or at least I've committed, that I will then work on my own solution based on what I've heard with people and what I think to be fair, and bring it forward into 09 if we can't get a consensus for 08, which I really believe we can. But in order for waiting till then, basically, I promise both sides so that if I feel people aren't coming to the table in good faith and I'm involved, that I would then get interested in the issue and bring something else forward in 09 that I think is fair.
Other discussions? Any other questions for this?
Okay. They asked them all.
Okay.
Thanks.
So the question is, and I guess I'll just, since we're in a work session, just ask. And I'll start with Representative Clem. My feeling is that we, from my perspective, we need to do something and have some real discussions about how this industry either continues to go or not. This one doesn't have to go to Ways and Means because it's under the $50,000 mark for sure. So the question is, what we're going to send out here is something that goes and either has the discussion or not. Do you feel this, these amendments will give you the tools you need to come up with that kind of discussion and solution?
I don't know that it needs that many legislators, you know, actually. But I'm,
I mean, because we can also put this off. I mean, we're having a lot of stuff pushed to Monday. I mean, I have no problem with you working on some, finishing up some clarifying.
Here's what would be really helpful. We could probably deal with this right now. Could we get some of the folks, what I don't know is if the groups who agreed verbally with this, if they've seen this and are okay with it or not. So maybe at least anybody who's here who was part of those conversations could.
Sure, come on up.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
if they like it, you know, it'll work.
I will, you know, even though I asked a lot of questions, I'm willing to support it. But my suggestion is adding somebody from the Association of Oregon Counties and Department of Ag, and maybe taking off some of the legislative members, because it also adds a cost because of the per diem.
I agree.
So, I mean, I'm just concerned about additional costs given that our natural resource agency's budgets are very tight.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. So let's ask the two here first. Let's sit here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ray Wilkerson, OFIC. Ms. McNitt and I just saw these amendments for the first time a few minutes ago, but we have a chance to talk to them about a little bit, and Christina's got a couple things that she might want to bring to your attention.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're
an agent out there. Isn't it nice to be introduced that way?
For the record, I'm Christina McNitt, representing the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. Let me say first off that I think a task force is a great idea, and we're committed, whether or not there's legislation that compels a task force or not, we're committed to doing that. The amendments that we just saw are a little bit maybe head-scratching, and I'd like to share with you some of that language. First of all, Representative Dingfelder, I think your additions, your comments about the Department of Ag and the counties are good, and I wouldn't have any objection to that. First of all, it's how in Section 1 the task force is created, and it just sounds kind of formal and maybe a little stiff and odd, but the president of the Senate appoints two members of the Senate and a hybrid poplar grower from Western Oregon, and the Speaker of the House appoints two members from the House and one member who's a grower of hybrid poplar from Eastern Oregon, which, okay. But then the governor appoints a member of the Oregon Forest Industries Council, the Small Woodlands Association, and the Farm Bureau. And I'm just wondering, would it be easier and faster, if we just had the Senate president and the Speaker of the House just jointly appoint members from those categories to this task force? That seems like it might be easier and faster, especially because I agree with Representative Clem that the timeline we've discussed is working towards some sort of consensus legislation for the 2008,
special session.
Not that special.
Okay, but my real discomfort with the amendments as they're drafted now is actually on page 2, number 3, because it, in my view, kind of narrows down the scope of what the recommendations can be. It says the task force, line 1, sub 3, the task force may make recommendations to the 75th Legislative Assembly regarding how to best support and improve Oregon's hybrid poplar industry. And I think we might be a little more comfortable with language something like to address regulations and tax assessment issues related to the hybrid poplar management. I think that includes the scope of the discussions we've had. And finally, just chatter in the back of the room under 12, lines 22 through 28. If you wanted to delete those, which provides compensation for, is it per diem, travel and other expenses incurred by the task force members, we're happy to do that on our own dime. Yeah. And we're always concerned about the Department of Forestry and their currently severely understaffed private forest program.
Yeah, and as we noted in our earlier discussion, we really don't have a resource forester over in the east side that would have even been there to do this work, and so that's a part of the whole discussion that needs to take place. So,
right, and we would welcome that discussion.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Chair,
yes, Representative Clem.
Would you rather just have 3 at the very top of page 2 just out entirely, or
I don't think it's necessary.
The language that talks about taxing and various practices. And then it doesn't specify what they're going to talk about, and we talk about whatever we talk about and then bring a report back. I don't care either way, really.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clem, personally, I could go either way. Discussions about this bill have focused on regulatory and tax assessment policy, so either way.
We're going to be working on this regardless for the next day, aren't we? or come
No, we will. We will postpone, put this one on. We'll try to do it on, I guess we could,
Thursday.
Yeah, I think we might be able to. It'll be. We'll set it forward to Thursday and then maybe to Friday. Yes, Representative Boakley.
Chair, my assumption was is that the informal work group chair, Representative Flynn, was going to come back with an amendment.
Yes.
More streamlined.
Yep.
You want to talk about your annexation?
he's working on
prime example right here. I can reference
this. If everybody's so committed to this, why do we even need a task force?
I think, yeah, I mean, I go back at that at different times, but there are times that tell me that everybody is committed at the moment, and then when they get away from here, it doesn't seem to take quite as big a issue, and all of a sudden we come back and nothing's really happened. So that's the
concern.
Well,
I think Representative Clem has made this a priority. So.
He's one of my students.
Well,
yeah, he is.
I'm just
saying. I can't wait till Representative Clem explains this one on the floor.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. Yeah.
Well, I'll work on amendments the next day or two.
Okay.
And decision on whether it's actually necessary at all. How's
that? That'll be fair, too.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, I will be happy to help you out.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe a representative from the hybrid poplar industry would be appropriate,
yeah, right,
too.
Right, definitely.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just thank
yes.
you, and particularly Representative Clem and Representative Boakley for their work. They both participated in the work, or convened the work group that did a good job of coming up with a way to move forward on this. We appreciate that.
I thank them as well. So what I'm hearing right now is that the kind of the gist of all of this is that we want to give Representative Clem the opportunity to work on some amendments and we can chat. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, we will. Yes.
Measure 37.
I will close the work session on 3481, and we'll have Representative Clem get a hold of some people, including someone from the Poplar Group, just so they know what's going on. And one of the problems that we are having is that, as many people know, some in this room, if bills aren't moved by Monday the 30th, they don't move any longer. And so these amendments come fairly quickly, and we're having difficulty getting them exactly like we want, as was apparent for those who came here because of issues with regard to annexation. We got our bills back, our amendments back, and they weren't exactly as we had anticipated them to be. That's why you don't see them on the agenda today. Representative,
just a point of clarification. I mean, we provided the work group had in its last meeting had drafts for it. We provided copies of those drafts to the appropriate legal counsel for drafting, and they didn't come back close.
Okay.
So.
And that's why they aren't here today.
Back to the drawing board.
That's why they aren't here today. And in Representative Clem's defense, these got back so late that he hadn't had a chance to see them before today. So. Anyway, and I thank everybody for the work they're doing on those groups to make it happen. Okay, so we're going to now open a hearing on House Bill 3025. Work session. Open a work session on 3025. Okay. Oh, wait.
That's okay.
I'm going to close the work session on 3025. You can come forward.
Do you want to?
Yeah. Do you want to? Okay. I'm going to open a work session on 3337.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we suspend the rules and allow Representative Maurer to vote on 3337.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, how do you vote on 3337?
Aye.
Representative Maurer votes aye. Thank you very much. We will close our work session on 3337, and now we'll open a work session on 3025. And with that, we'll let our administrator give a brief description.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 3025 is the bill that deals with whether a decision, local government decision on final plats is considered a land use decision or a limited land use decision. There are -3 amendments in front of you which simply add an emergency clause to the original bill. Chandler's here.
Mr. Chandler, would you like to come forward and share us your insights in this one?
No. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association, here on the dash. Three amendments to 3025, and I cannot add anything to what your administrator already said, except to note that occasionally bills get over-lawyered and overthought. This bill was a victim of both the dash one and dash two amendments, having become inoperative, and what we end up with is the base bill with an emergency clause after a fair number of billable hours and a lot of really interesting thinking. We commend the bill to you. Everybody that was fine with the bill in the first place is still fine. Cities are fine. Counties, bankers, realtors, cherubim and seraphim, etc.
Mr. Chair?
Any questions? Oh, yes.
No,
I'll vote that first.
I make a motion that we move the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3025.
Representative Smith has moved the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3025. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. I'll wait for a second if you like.
Mr. Chair, you know, if I vote yes, this is two bills I voted for the home builders, so I hope that, not that anybody's keeping score, but...
Not that anybody's keeping track.
I think I just broke my record here.
I won't tell anybody about that.
On the QT, would you?
Your secret's safe with me.
So what happened, Representative McPherson, just I'll give you a little briefing. There were dash ones and dash twos. They have both now, after many billable hours, to a number of people, agreed that they really didn't need those.
Hopefully not as far.
And so now the only thing is an emergency clause that goes into the section is the only thing that's being added to this bill.
Okay.
That's paraphrasing our witness.
Very good. Okay, very good.
Okay. So any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, we have passed the amendments into the bill, 3025.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3025 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved House Bill 3025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Flynn?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Calendar?
Consent. I think it could be a consent calendar issue.
Mr. Anybody? Chair, I move that House Bill 3025 be placed on the consent calendar.
Representative Dingfeld has moved to put it on the consent calendar. Is there any discussion of that? Anybody who disagrees? Okay. I don't think we have to take a vote on that, so we'll put it on the consent agenda. And we'll close the hearing on the work session on 3025.
No, just to maybe know that that's going to happen.
Oh, and yeah, we should note 3512. We have an amendment that's being drafted or considered on that one as well. And so we are putting it on to Monday. And Monday, have we got a time schedule?
3:00.
3:00. Does that work for everyone?
3:00. Okay, because my committee's meeting at 5:00. So
okay, that's why we had to.
You,
we thought we were doing it at 5:00. So that's, is 3:00 work for everyone on Monday?
I'm in the next door meeting.
So we can call you back and forth if we need you.
Can
we call you back and forth if we need you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be in here in room 50.
Oh,
this room is
50.
This room
is
downstairs. It's there for me.
It's July around.
Okay. So we'll be in hearing room 50 on Monday. But Thursday we'll be back here. So any other discussion from committee members? I want to say I certainly appreciate all the work that people are doing here at this end of this timeline. And I really do believe that setting these timelines and working for it does give us a chance to get that 30th deadline of June. Possible. We'll see. So with that, thank you all, and we'll close our meeting on Ag and Natural Resources.